May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you all. A number of years ago, there was an NBA basketball player by the name of Charles Barkley. He played at Alabama in college, and then he went on to the pros and had quite a storied career. He was good on the court, but years ago, he did some foolish things, and he said some foolish things off of the court. One time, a reporter asked him, "What effect do you think that your behavior might have upon young people today?" And Charles Barkley said, "I do not aspire to be a role model." But Charles Barkley failed to recognize that he, a public person, has his words and actions in full view by many people. And so it's true that there would be young people who would try to imitate Charles Barkley, the good and the bad. Further into Luke chapter 6, we learn some words of Jesus. And he says, "Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your enemies. Do good to them." This is a very appropriate directive for this time, because there are two very influential centers of influence that can get our attention. Which will we choose as we try to deal with the challenge of how to treat those who mistreat us? In this present time, politicians have a prominent stage. And if we pay attention to the news, read the newspaper, some of you might even have Twitter or Facebook. If you listen to the radio or watch TV, you will see front and center many of the disparaging things that people say to one another. People will be called names. They will be disrespected. Their motives will be questioned. Do you think that that might have an effect upon all of us who hear this and see this? I think it will. Just on Wednesday, there was an editorial or a letter from a citizen of Eugene in the Register Guard. And it talked about going to athletic games at the University of Oregon. And the person who wrote it said that she's well aware that students can be verbally abusive and visually abusive to opposing fans and players. But she never thought that it would come from the University of Oregon band. And in this letter, she said that when the opposing team came onto the court, the band turned their backs. There was a short player on the opposing team, and the band members made fun of her. And when it was an appropriate time for them, they shouted, "Dunk it! Dunk it!" She would never even think of dunking it because of her size. And then when someone shot the basketball and missed the rim altogether and the backboard, as so often happens, they shouted, "Air ball, air ball." And the person, who no doubt was ashamed, probably felt even more humiliated. The person who wrote the letter is a musician, And she said that she felt embarrassed to be a musician in those cringe-worthy moments at the University of Oregon basketball game. In Proverbs 24, verse 17, we read these words, "Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice, for the Lord will see and disapprove." The other role model that can get our attention in these days is Jesus. And again, he says in Matthew chapter 5, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." It's hard to ignore the angry and the shameful influences of our day and to follow instead the words of Jesus. Our sinful selves can get wrapped up in all that we say or see and hear, and we can gravitate to imitate those who seem to offer up only bad examples. Years ago, we had a dog by the name of Chrissy. Chrissy was a border collie mix, and so she was very frisky. And she had a habit of escaping our home. And usually she would run across Chambers Street to the nursing home across the street, and she would sit there and look at me as if to say, "I challenge you to catch me." And I would do that. I would run across Chambers and I would try to catch her. Eventually I would find her and I would put the leash on her and bring her back home. But one time, she ran out of the house and she went to a park behind us. And she was running and enjoying her freedom, but she ran up to a man who was jogging. And she started barking. And I ran up to her and I tried to get the leash on her. And meanwhile, I apologized to the man, and the man stood up and got right in my face and he said, "The next time I see you and that dog off the leash, I'm going to knock your glasses right off your face." And I was scared. And in that moment, I was his enemy and he was mine. That man runs often in our neighborhood. And when I see him, I have these feelings of anger and bitterness well up within me. And I remember that day. And I really want to stop him and have a conversation with him and try to understand him more and let him understand me in the hopes that maybe we could put aside our differences and that we could become at least friendly acquaintances, if not friends. But I have yet to do it. I need help. I need God. I need the love of Jesus to cleanse my heart of my bitterness toward that man, so that I might be a new person and that I might be able to imitate Jesus, who calls me to a higher plane of living. Maya Angelou, who was once called the poet of America, said, "Hate, it has caused a lot of problems in this world, but it has not solved one yet." We are to be people who are agents of God's love, to come to a relationship that is broken and to bring healing to it, to come to a relationship that might be mired in name-calling and disrespect and impugning motives and all kinds of negative stuff. We are called to that place too, to bring beauty and life again. in the story that I alluded to with the children, Joseph climbed the ranks in Egypt and became a powerful man of leadership. His brothers and his father, they were experiencing a drought, a shortage of food. And so the brothers came to far-off Egypt to talk to someone in authority, and they approached Joseph. They didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. He had every opportunity in the world to get back at them, to call them names, to be disrespectful to them. But you know what he did? He reached out to each of them and gave them a hug and kissed them. And he provided food for them. And in fact, he said, come and live in Egypt. I've got a good place for you. Years ago, there was a war in Sarajevo and in the 90s. And there was a shortage of food, just like the brothers of Joseph experienced. And the people lined up at a bakery to get bread. Even though there were snipers in the mountains around, and they would risk losing their lives, they stood in line. And sure enough, someone fired a mortar or two, and 22 people were killed, and 70 people were injured. In May of 1992, the 17th of May, Vedran Smailovich got his cello, and the very next day, exactly at the same time that the mortar explosions happened the previous day, he went to the town square and he played Albinioni's Adagio in G minor. He filled that public square with music. He was determined to have beauty and life and love champion hatred and killing and anger. Jesus was on the cross. In Ephesians, it covers this. Paul is talking about this. Jesus looks down from the cross and he sees his enemies there, people who have nailed him to the cross. And because he's God, he's omniscient, he could also see all of the sinful deeds and words that we have done and are doing and will do. He did not rail at his enemies. He did not yell at them or show disrespect. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in that redemptive work of Jesus, the enemies of God were reconciled to him. Reconciled. We receive that gift from God. And so we can carry on with the work of reconciliation. As we think about and as we see people that we have not liked in the past cross our paths, we have a chance to do something special. To not do what the world does today, but to follow the model, the example of Jesus, and to love our enemies. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.